and a perfectionist, even in the world's way of looking at it, is the perfectionist is listening to the lies of condemnation. And that's what makes you unhappy. That's what makes you critical. That's what makes you feel like nothing, it's never enough. It's never enough. If you get that feeling, it's never enough. No matter how hard I try, no matter what I do right, no matter what I'm doing, it's still never enough. It's the devil telling you it's not good enough. It's the devil who is your judge. Let me ask you this, as Christians. Does anybody want the devil to be their judge? No. No, think about it. Do you really want Satan to be your judge? Do you think having Satan as a judge is going to be a good and pleasant life? No. Do you think you'll ever please him? No. Do you even want to please him?
No.
All right. So the real problem here isn't that you have a lot of gifts and talents and skills, because God gave those to you. The real problem here isn't that you want to use those gifts, talents, and skills because they were given to you. People who don't use those are going to stand before God and have to give account why they didn't use those. The problem here is that you're using them to please the devil, which is impossible, because you feel so condemned, which means you don't understand God, and that spirit of perfectionism is going to keep a bitter root there, and it's going to keep you from having victory. We've got to dethrone the enemy, you guys. First of all, what does he have to say about any of your gifts and talents? He didn't give them to you. They're not for his glory. He really doesn't get anything from them. He just hates that you have them. And he wants to make sure you don't glorify God with them. Now, one of the things when I was reading this that I think would make it hard for perfectionists to let go of it is because they see their high achievements as a good thing, and they're not going to let go of being a high achiever. They like that they get the job done, and they should. They like that they can handle many tasks, and they should. You think you have to hate doing a good job. You think you have to hate working hard. You think you have to hate having different gifts and talents and using them. And so most people boast about being perfectionist. Oh yeah, I'm a perfectionist. You look at me, we ain't perfect. No. I wouldn't. Yeah, I would. I would do that. But then I tell them how in Christ they could be. Do you see what I'm saying? So the key to getting free from this tonight, I believe, is recognizing, like, wait a minute. God wants me to enjoy all the different things I can do. But he also wants me to be free enough to enjoy the things I'm not that good at that might be fun. In other words, I can enjoy everything. That's not a sin that God has made available to me to enjoy. So maybe I'm not the greatest cook in the world. John's like, amen. But if I want to try a new recipe, it's okay. He doesn't have to worry about it. But you understand what I'm saying? So you may not get to sing on the worship team, but you can sing in the audience no matter how bad it sounds. But if you love to sing, then that's okay. But if you're a perfectionist, you're not going to open your mouth unless you sing what other people would think was good. So then you lose the joy of being able to sing to the Lord. You know, you're not going to sit down, you're not going to minister if you can't minister as well as somebody else ministers. So you're going to lose knowing what it feels like to let God use you to talk to somebody or to help somebody or to show somebody something. And you hide behind perfectionism, or you hide behind, I can't do it as good as them, which means you're also comparing yourselves to one another, which is unwise. And so you actually have this thing going on in your mind to evaluate and judge and be critical of everything, to see what it's okay for you to do. And then when you finally step out and do what it's okay for you to do, unless other people are telling you how good that is, or you're at least telling yourself how good that is, it loses its value. Because you, perfectionists have their value connected to their works. Perfectionists have their value connected to their works. And that's the enemy's lie. Your value is in who you are in Christ. Your value is that you are made in the image of God. So what are you doing letting a devil who's not made in the image of God, who's even fallen from his image, his holy image in heaven, why are you letting a perverted demon with no value tell you what your value is when you're made in the image of God? Now, here's the key too. When the enemy tells you constantly how bad you are, how wrong you are, how dumb you are, how you messed that up, what a failure you are, it causes you to be bitter against God. And bitterness is a root of evil. And so then there's bitter roots that constantly cause the fruit of anger, control, rage. It can go into suicide, depression, hate, self-hate, God-hate. I mean, it can get really nasty. Because your identity, when you have this spirit, is in what you do instead of that you are creating the image of God. And teachings that really help you on this is you are lovable. Yeah, that was just a really powerful teaching. Because people who are striving with this are still trying to prove that they have worth. I mean, they're still trying to prove something to themselves and to others about their value, which really makes them a judge and critical and judging and criticizing everyone else. So, true perfectionism is in Christ. And we talked about, let me see if I find a few of these scriptures. Is this helping, is even hearing those definitions help anybody kind of separate? God's not trying to separate you from the stuff he's given you to do for his glory. He's not trying to separate you or make you put down the stuff he's given you for his glory. Condemnation constantly, the enemy wants it to be for your glory, for your glory, for your glory, which keeps you self-absorbed. It makes you see everything through, how does this make me look? How does this make me look? How does this make me look? And then you feel like such a failure in relationships because you can't hardly see beyond how it affects you. And it's really part of the whole cycle of death. Works. Works brings death. And it can come from any different place. You know, if you have critical parents, if you had somebody say something to you that made you feel like you were no good, if you had somebody tell you how good you are, but every time they told you how good you are, it's about what you do. Well, look at them. Oh, look how nice they dress. Oh, look how good you color. Oh, look how good you did that. Look, and your only time that anyone's ever said anything good about you had to do with what you did, it's going to build in you a thought life that, oh, I'm valued and judged on what I do. I'm valued and judged on what I do. And that is the core, I believe. That is the core of this identity. The core of this identity is that you picked up somewhere along the way that your value was in what you do. You know, we need to make sure that our children know that they're loved unconditionally. But we still have a responsibility to let them know, according to God's word and being led by the Spirit, what is acceptable behavior and what is not acceptable behavior for their good, not for our reputation. And I'm reckoning, we have teaching on codependency and enabling, but basically that's when somebody else makes you feel good about yourself. Your children and their accomplishments should never, ever make you feel better about yourself. And your children and their failures should never, ever make you feel bad about yourself. The same thing with marriage relationships and work relationships or ministry relationships. Why? Because the way you see yourself and value yourself should be because you are made in the image of God and Jesus Christ died for you and now he lives inside of you. That is your identity. It has to be the core of how you feel about yourself. Now, if you're here and you're not born again of the Spirit of God, then you have an over-inflated ego that can take you to hell, or an under-inflated ego where you blame God or feel so bad, that could take you to hell. Both of them are pride. We're teaching on that called pride. High-mindedness, low self-esteem. Do you understand? You are wonderfully made. Here's the key. God created you to love, to pour his love into you. He created you. When he created you, he said, human beings are going to be made in our image and our likeness, and we are going to pour our love into them and have a relationship with them. He did not say, human beings who look a certain way, accomplish a certain amount of things, they're worth hanging out with. I think I want to be with them. I think I want to be a friend of theirs. Come on, guys. How are you going to impress God when everything you have, he gave you? How can you impress God? You cannot impress God with your package. But you can make Jesus go, wow, I've never seen such faith. When you believe in him and trust in him. The only thing that makes God smile, really, and boast about you is when you believe him and trust him. And that's, you can find that in the scripture. When that man came and his servant was dying. And he said, Jesus, you know, good master, if you'd come, you know, the centurion. And he said, let me just come with you. And he said to Jesus, no, if you just speak a word. Jesus steps back from that and says, wow, I haven't seen this kind of faith in Israel. If you want God to say, wow, it's only going to be about your faith. It's only going to be about your faith. It's only going to be about you believe in him and who he is more than you believe anything else in life. That's what impresses God. But let me say this, God doesn't love you more when you impress him. He can never love you one drop more. He can never add one drop of love to how he loves you, and he will never take one drop away. And that's how we're supposed to have relationships. And that's hard because we've been brought up in a fallen world where we want to see what somebody can do for us and how can they benefit us and how can they make us feel better about us and how can they make other people think better of us. And everything is based on what other people think instead of that complete knowing. I am completely loved by God. If I mess up, he's in charge of fixing it. If I need to be changed, and I do, he's in charge of changing me. All I'm supposed to do is enjoy God, learn to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, which will completely change me. And then I can love myself. We get teaching on this on the web. And then I can love others. That's all we're here for. We're here to choose God and to live in his kind of love. That's what we're here for. That's all you're going to be judged for. When you stand before God, he's not going to say, "Oh, remember that science project? You know the one I'm talking about. That one where you got the F. And I'm supposed to let you into heaven. You know, I gave you the brains. I gave you good parents. You had the money to buy the supplies. But you know, you just didn't do it right. But God, I tried." No. I'm just disgusted. I really don't know if you can come into heaven now. And that time you sassed your mother when my words is to honor her, and you just put her down and you made fun of her and you told her, "I just don't think I can let you in." Oh, and that time you did such a great job on that, you know, okay, so you got the awards of the year. Weren't you also, you know, no, it's like, you know, you were great. No, you were great. You got the highest award. You're so great. God, I can't wait for you to get into heaven. You've got so much to add to this place. We could use some people like you. We're laughing. But we bought lies that that's how God sees us and judges us, because that's how we see ourselves and judge ourselves. And to the degree that you do that, to the degree that Satan tells you it's never good enough. See, if Satan tells you it's not good enough, you live under condemnation. Because Jesus says, "By my blood, it's finished." Satan has no right to talk to you, much less make you hate yourself, ruin relationships, or try to get your self-esteem from what you do.